Good morning, and Merry Christmas to all of you. How many of you have seen a Charlie Brown Christmas, huh? Put up your hands. Yes, yes, yeah, everybody's seen it. This year, at December 6th, marked the 53rd anniversary of airing a Charlie Brown Christmas. Back in 1965, that was the first time. And back then, it was watched by more than 15 million viewers. There was only one program that was more highly rated that evening. I think it was Bonanza, if anybody remembers that. TV critics raved about it, and it received an Emmy Award for Outstanding Children's Program. And since then, A Charlie Brown Christmas has aired on national television every single Christmas season. Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts cartoon and, of course, the Christmas special, became the most successful cartoonist of all time. What's so crazy is that before the special was aired, the CBS executives thought it was awful. They hated it. They tried to bury it, and they only allowed it to air because they didn't have anything else at such short notice to replace it. They complained that it looked unprofessional. How so? Well, for starters, all the voice parts were done actually by kids, and this was unheard of back in those days for animation. Professional adults always played the kids' voices for cartoons. Worse yet, most of the kids had zero experience. And some of them, including Linus, who had a lot of lines, were too young even to read the script. It had to be fed to them line by line, verbally. The network executives also thought that the show needed a laugh track. That was standard fare for comedies in those days. But Charles Schulz was adamant. He said no laugh track was to be added. He wanted the viewers to just enjoy the comedy at its own pace. And when the sponsors viewed the show, they had a cow. For one, they thought that it was way too religious for the viewing public. In fact, both the network executives and the TV sponsors, they were certain that this was not only going to flop as a TV special, but it was also going to ruin the Peanuts cartoon strip for all time. And of course, they couldn't have been more wrong. Today, we're going to, as a special event for our Christmas service, we're going to explore the true meaning of Christmas, of course, from the Bible, and we're going to illustrate that meaning from A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, of course, millions of readers have adored the Peanuts cartoon strip through the years and the TV specials, but most never had a clue, never realized that Peanuts was embedded with biblical messages, Christian messages of all sorts. And if you'd like to check this out in more detail, read the book, The Gospel According to Peanuts by Robert Shaw. It's a fascinating book, a look into how Charles Schulz stuffed the Peanuts strip with all kinds of Christian concepts. Now, some of you may remember this presentation from a few years back when I did it at Christmas Eve, but I wanted to repeat it. For one, a lot of people really liked it and told me so. And second, it never got recorded. There was some sort of a glitch in our equipment, and it never got recorded. So I thought I'd rerun it with a few modifications today. Hope you're excited. You'll notice on your outline, you have some fill-ins there that you might want to take notes on. Neat artwork done, provided by Ken. We're going to look at three biblical truths in A Charlie Brown Christmas, all right? And the first is blockhead. Blockhead, right? As everyone knows, Charlie Brown is the number one loser according to the Peanuts comic strip. And yet, true to form, in A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown is, he's the brunt of the jokes. He's the one everybody laughs at and makes fun of. Why? Because they say Charlie Brown is a blockhead. He can't do anything right. Take a look.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a treat!
Now, the key line here, I love that scene. The key line here shouldn't be missed. Violet says about Charlie Brown, he's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right. It's meant, of course, as an insult, but actually, Schultz is using it to express a profound theological truth. Let me ask you, who else do you know who can't do anything right? Now, be careful. Don't nudge your spouse on that one, all right? Truthfully, I see that person every time I look in the mirror. The Bible teaches that this is the reason that we need a Savior. Before God, we can't do anything ultimately right. This is the reason that God needed to become flesh and live here among us. Of course, we all know no one's perfect. But the ultimate reason why Christmas is necessary is because we're all sinners. We can't do anything before God that is meritorious. We can't earn our salvation. We can't save ourselves. Notice what it says in the book of Romans. Chapter 3, a few quotations here, and please help me out when we come to the yellow print. No one is righteous, not even one. All have turned away. All have become useless. Strong word there. Help me out. No one does good, not a single one, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is humanity's fatal flaw, according to Scripture. Our root problem is not a lack of education. That may contribute to a lot of problems, but that isn't the root. The root isn't poverty or inequality. The root problem is moral, our moral bankruptcy before God, our broken relationship before Him. And this theme shows up all over the place, again and again, in the Peanuts comic strip. Charlie Brown is the guy who tries hard but always fails. He falls short. He's the guy who bombs out when it really counts. As the girls in that scene just put it, you're hopeless, Charlie Brown, completely hopeless. Well, this is the way Scripture speaks of us. As truly hopeless. This is the exact plight that the Bible exposes humanity for, is that we are lost. We are born sinners, and we continuously break God's commandments, and we badly need God. We choose idols over Him. And yet, we can all identify with Charlie Brown, can't we? I mean, he's a blockhead, but we love him. That's deliberate. Charlie Brown, in the Peanuts comic strip, and in this Christmas special is no exception, he stands for the sinner. He falls short of God's law, and yet we love him. We identify with him. Now, think about it for a minute. That sounds a lot like humanity before God, don't you think? Fallen, lost, hopeless, and yet God still loves him. As lovable as this blockhead is, however, Charlie Brown gets one thing right. He acknowledges that he falls short. You'll notice that he realizes it, and he never blames anybody else. He never gets defensive when he's criticized. He recognizes that something is missing. Let's take another look.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
This is what sets Charlie Brown apart from all the others in the comic strip. You might say that he's the seeker in the bunch. He knows he has a problem, but he doesn't know how to solve it. He realizes he needs help, and he's looking for answers. When his failures are pointed out, he doesn't become defensive. He doesn't attack back. Instead, he just grimaces, and he says, "Rats, you know, woe is me," kind of a thing. Charlie Brown embodies for us what Jesus calls the attitude that we need to have to find salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 2. It says, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, help me out, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like a little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Notice that. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. And so on your outline, I'm suggesting that the blockhead stands for the sinful seeker. The sinful seeker. Charlie Brown's character reveals a profound truth about humanity, about each and every one of us, our need to recognize and to admit our failure before God. Before him, we are morally bankrupt. Now, we compare ourselves with each other, and maybe you're better than me or better than your neighbor. And you might think, well, I'm pretty good. I'm doing fine. But God's standard is his absolute perfection, moral perfection. Before him, we're all bankrupt, completely unable to save ourselves. And that's why we need a Savior. We sing about, in the Christmas carols, a Savior. Well, what do we need saving from? We need saving from our sins. This is what Scripture reveals. Here's the grave question that every one of us needs to ask with real seriousness. Have you come to the point in your life when you've realized you can't save yourself? It's a startling realization, and naturally, we back away from that. We have our defense mechanisms. We want to justify or rationalize or compare ourselves with somebody else who's worse. But Scripture says we need to come to this realization that we have broken God's commandments and we need salvation. Have you ever come to that point in your life without that damning realization? There's no hope for you, really. Because you will never see your real need of salvation and turn from your sins to receive God's salvation unless you admit that need. That's the first step. The second biblical truth in a Charlie Brown Christmas on your outline is blanket. All right? Blanket. Whenever you see Linus, you know his blanket can't be far away, right? In fact, many people credit Charles Schulz in the Peanuts comic strip, Linus' character, with the expression security blanket. But actually, that's not quite right. The expression has been used, it was used before the Peanuts comic strip. Back in the 20s, security blankets were used to keep babies from falling out of cribs. That's how they marketed them. They called them security blankets. And then in a totally different kind of meeting, the military used the term for defensive purposes. It had nothing to do with literal blankets, but they called security blankets some sort of a military maneuver. But it was Charles Schulz who gave us the expression as we normally use it. A soft cloth that a little child clings to provide comfort, right? Or, in an extended use, to anyone, an adult included, who may cling to security for something like your position, or your career, or your talent, your education, maybe your sense of humor. Maybe that's your security blanket. Or your good looks, or your sharp tongue. Or substances of some kind, maybe alcohol, or maybe food. Maybe that's the thing that brings you comfort and security, or drugs. Throughout the Peanuts comic strip, Linus's blanket stands for things that we look to for security, things that might comfort us for the time being, but can never deal with our deep-seated need for that ultimate security. And so what I'm saying the blanket stands for is self-made security rather than that true security that only comes from God. There's one Peanuts strip that really brings this out, I think, in a hilarious way. As you remember, Lucy, of course, is very outspoken. She's Linus's older sister. And she's never shy about taking matters into her own hands, right? And she hates his blanket and the fact that he's always clinging to it. And so look at this comic strip that we have. Linus says with panic all over his face, he says to Lucy, "You buried my blanket." And then in the next frame, he says, "You can't do that. I'll die without that blanket. I'll be like a fish out of water. I'll die. I'll die." And then in the next frame, "Tell me where you buried it. Tell me." And then in the final frame, "Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me." Well, he's pretty desperate. Schulz is using Linus's security blanket to portray in a humorous way and yet a thought-provoking way what the Bible calls idolatry. See, idols are the things that we look to bring us what only God can really ultimately give us, security and comfort among them. God's first of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus 20, verse 3, which we just studied recently in our series on the Ten Commandments, you must not have any other gods but me. No security blankets. And yet, though Linus can't stand to be away from his blanket, it really ends up causing a lot of trouble in his life, as we just saw in that last comic strip. It constantly becomes a drag on him. Do you know, in the Peanuts world, Linus is in a panic every Monday. You know why? Monday is wash day. That's the day that his blanket gets laundered. And he is just in a royal panic. This is how false gods are constantly portrayed in the Bible. They're like the heroin that the addict has to have. He desperately desires it. It enslaves him. And yet, he clings to it for his life. I'll die without it, while it sucks the life out of him and eventually destroys him. Just as cars were invented to run on gasoline, at least most of them were invented to run on gasoline, and flashlights run on batteries, human beings are created to run on God. We're created to run on Him, for Him to be at the center of our lives. But putting an idol in the center of your life, where God really belongs, is like putting sand into your gas tank. It's going to ruin your engine. But I like how Schultz deals with this in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Notice what happens when Linus explains to Charlie Brown the true meaning of Christmas. This is one of the great parts the greatest part in the whole special. Let's look at it.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Well, of course, Linus is quoting from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. Incidentally, this was the scene that really spooked the CBS executives and the sponsors. They said it's way too religious. You got to cut this Bible quotation out of there. They insisted on that, but Schultz put his foot down and he demanded the Bible story stays. And so they had to leave it in there. But did you notice what Linus does with his blanket as he quotes the Bible passage? Did you notice? He drops it. He drops his blanket. Linus freely lets go of his security blanket. And when does he drop his blanket? He drops it right as he speaks the words, Fear not. And that, of course, is right after he just announced that Christ has been born. So let's look at it again and notice what you may have overlooked earlier.
And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
A coincidence? Well, I think given Schultz's ingenious theological subtlety, I don't think this is a coincidence. He's telling us that the angel's message about Jesus as the Savior of the world, which follows the words, "Fear not," that he is our genuine source of security. The reason we should all drop our idols, our security blankets, and embrace Jesus as the true Savior and Lord. Because Jesus is God in human flesh, because he died for our sins, because he paid the penalty for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world on the cross, and then arose glorious from the dead, he can offer us, he can give us what no one else or no thing else can, and that is forgiveness of our sins and eternal life, not to mention the way to follow God in this life. He offers us genuine security, not a false hope, not just a security blanket. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 7. He says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." There's security for you. "And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." What is your source of security in your life? What is it that you look to for that peace, for that sense of well-being? Linus once said, "Only 1 yard of outing flannel stands between me and a nervous breakdown." What's your security blanket? What do you cling to during the storms of life? What are you banking on when you stand before God to give an account of your life, which the Bible assures us we all will do? If you don't have Jesus as the foundation of your life, you're trusting in something. You have something there that's your security. It may be yourself or some talent you have or some person in your life. But whatever it is, if it isn't the Lord Jesus, it will ultimately fail you. Eventually, whatever it is will let you down. Drop that security blanket and embrace Jesus instead. The third biblical truth in A Charlie Brown Christmas is the branch. I remember as a little kid watching A Charlie Brown Christmas, and I really hated the so-called Christmas tree that Charlie Brown picks out when they send him off to pick out the tree. I think, you know, the Peanuts kids are right. I'm with them in this. You know, this is pathetic to even call it a tree. Is a gross, over generous statement. It's no tree at best. At best, it's a branch, pathetic looking thing. But I am convinced that this is exactly the reaction that Schultz wants to produce in us. A branch is exactly the idea that he has in mind. But why? Here's where some knowledge of the Old Testament really comes in handy to understand what's going on here, especially the Old Testament prophets. A number of times, the coming Messiah is depicted by the prophets as a branch. But again, why? Well, picture a giant tree, a tall, lovely, mighty tree. Let's call it a family tree. And in this case, it's the royal family tree of Israel's greatest king. That would be King David. David lived 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And God himself set David up as the true king of Israel. And because David was a man who sought God's heart. God made a promise to David that he would be the father of a line of kings that would endure forever. The Old Testament prophets foretold that this royal line of David would eventually produce the Messiah, the King of Kings, the King who would bring peace to the world and rule the world. But before that would happen, the descendants of David would become corrupt and evil. They would turn away from the Lord. And finally, it would lead to a catastrophe in which God would remove the Davidic king from the throne in Jerusalem and all but destroy that Davidic dynasty because of its sins. This tall and mighty family tree of David would be cut down, leaving only a stump in the ground. Now, that prophecy was fulfilled some 400 years after David lived. The last Davidic king, Zedekiah, was dethroned when the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. They burned down the temple, and many Jews were slaughtered. It was a terrible time for the people of Israel. And since that terrible day, back in 586 BC, no descendant of King David has reigned in Jerusalem over Israel. And what happened during those six or so centuries between King Zedekiah, who was dethroned, and Jesus? Well, the descendants of David just kind of gradually melted into the general population. Once regarded as kings and queens and princes and princesses, they now became just ordinary people, just peasant Jews, like anyone else. But Isaiah, the prophet, who spoke 700 years before the birth of Jesus, gives us this prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. He says, "One out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot." Yes, help me. "A new branch bearing fruit from the old root." Remember, the old root is David. "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." This is a prophecy of the Messiah. This new branch out of the old root, the old stump of King David. Now, why a branch? Why a branch out of an old rotting stump? Well, this is depicting Jesus' humble beginnings. Not a mighty tree, but a scrawny-looking branch. And we know from Scripture that Jesus was despised and rejected by most of his own people, especially at the end. And yet, this branch would be the true Messiah who would bring salvation not only to Israel, but to all the world. Now, fast forward seven centuries from Isaiah's time down to the time of Jesus, when the branch sprouts, born to humble peasants in Bethlehem. Peasants named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David, and his virgin wife, Mary. Jesus grew up to perform miracles and to show us what God is like. But then he was rejected, he was crucified, he was buried, and 3 days later he arose gloriously from the dead. His death paid the penalty for our sins, and so that by trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we receive forgiveness and eternal life. Now, you might say, I'm going out on a limb with this, but in A Charlie Brown Christmas, that raggedy, lousy-looking poor excuse for a Christmas tree stands for Jesus Christ. And Charlie Brown, you might say, is the first to get it. And yet, notice what Charlie Brown himself does to the tree. Let's take a look.
I've killed it. Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
Oh, I love that scene. He kills it, he says. He kills it. Now, who in the Bible is responsible for killing Christ? Well, really, it's all of us, because he's suffering our crimes. We drove the nails in, as it were, when Jesus died on the cross. We, because of our sins, he was paying for. Charlie Brown is a sinner who realizes the depth of his guilt. He owns it. He doesn't try to dismiss it. He owns it. And so I'm saying here that the branch is the Savior, Jesus, in the Charlie Brown Christmas. But once again, Linus comes through to show Charlie Brown was right from the beginning about the little tree. Take a look.
I never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love. Charlie Brown is a blockhead, but he did get a nice tree.
Now, did you notice, what does Linus do when he recognizes the true value of the tree? Exactly right. He gets down on his knees. He takes away his security blanket from himself and lays it at the foot of the tree. He surrenders his idol. And the true value of the tree, then, is seen by all. So, too, the person who comes to Jesus in humble repentance, lays down his idols, repents of his sins at the foot of the cross. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you need to remember, if you forget everything else I say, if you're taking notes on that outline, it goes like this. Only humble seekers find humanity's Savior. Humble seekers find humanity's Savior. The blockhead, the blanket, the branch. An ingenious portrayal of the true meaning of Christmas. Like most of the Peanuts characters, most people today miss the true meaning of Christmas. It gets lost among the tinsel and the decorations and the shopping and the gifts and the time off. And that is a true tragedy. Charlie Brown, the condemned sinner, the outcast, the lonely reject, who first spots the true value of the neglected little Christmas tree among all the glitzy trees. Remember when he buys it there in the place where they buy the trees? And he takes that tree to himself, and he cherishes it. He's convinced that it is the answer to the dilemma that his friends are facing. Have you come to that vital point of realization that you're a sinner, that you desperately need God's forgiveness and salvation? Like Charlie Brown, you need to humble yourself. You need to take Jesus to yourself. And like Linus, you need to bow the knee. You need to humble yourself in repentance and lay down your idols at the foot of the cross, surrendering them to him. That's really what it's all about. That's what Scripture points us to. And neatly, I think, that's what Charlie Brown's Christmas, I think, points us to. We're going to close our service in just a few minutes. We're going to have a song that we're going to sing together to close up the service. So, but first, let's have a quick prayer. And if you are at that point where you say, you know, I have never crossed over from death to life, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never had that come to Jesus moment. You can, here, today, right now. Today can be the day of salvation for you. If you'd like to talk with somebody about this, maybe get some more spiritual counsel, come on down here right after the service. We have our pastoral prayer team. Lord, thank you for this great season that points us to Jesus, God made flesh, and then points us to the cross, the death of Jesus, his resurrection for our salvation. May we truly appreciate him at this Christmas time. We pray in his name. Amen.